Hey everyone, welcome to Ecclesia Hattiesburg. If you happen to be with us for the very first time this week online, we're glad to have you here. Obviously, during this time of COVID, we're not able to meet in person, but we look forward to hopefully meeting you in person when that time comes. For those of you that are normally a part of Ecclesia, I'm sorry that I'm having to pre-record this week instead of do it live. Some things coming up with family that I need to go and do, and so I'm not going to be able to do it live at 5 o'clock tonight. But we will still have the Zoom meeting at 5:30 for everyone who wants to be a part of that, and that information's been in your email. So glad to have you here. The good news is I don't have enough time to re-record this if I do anything wrong. So it'll still have all the feeling of something possibly getting ready to go catastrophically wrong at any point, like it does each week. So once again, I'm missing y'all's faces. I hope we get to see each other in person again. We are thinking through what it means for us to meet in person again and what all steps we would take. There's a little survey that I believe either has been or getting ready to be sent out to you about what circumstances you see yourself and your family participating in in-person meeting again. But be sure to answer that, let us know about it, and we're going to make the wisest decisions we can that are the most caring for our community. So anyways, this week we wanted to take some time to talk to you. And this week is actually a part of the Christian calendar during this week where we have what is called Ascension Sunday, where we talk about the ascension of the Lord and this really interesting story. And we were going through 1 Peter, jumping into lectionary text, and I will actually still use that 1 Peter text at the end because it makes for a really good benediction, I think. And I am trying this fancy thing here where I might be able to use some PowerPoint slides behind me. See how this works, why not, right? So actually, let's go ahead and just jump into text and get after it. We're in Acts chapter 1. It says this. It says, in the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning. Let me pause there real quick. Just in case you don't know, Acts is actually the second of a series, right? So Luke Acts was, most scholars would agree at this point, was written by the exact same person. A lot of similarities in the language, similarities in themes, and there are a lot of overlapping things. So Acts is seen as kind of the second book, right? The sequel that talks about the early church. It begins with Jesus basically leaving the disciples here to build whatever comes next. So that's what it's talking about right here. Verse 2 in Acts chapter 1. Until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days, very important kind of number there, 40 days, 40 years in the desert, 40 days in the desert for Jesus during the temptation. It's echoed here. And speaking about the kingdom of God, and of course the kingdom of God is what Jesus was always talking about. It's the main thing that Jesus discusses all the time. And so it's making reference back to that. Verse 4, while staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. He said, quote, this he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So you have this text where Jesus is telling his disciples that they're getting ready to get this gift. There's going to be this Holy Spirit that comes because Jesus baptized in the Holy Spirit while John baptized with water. And right off the bat is this first little clue that the disciples are getting ready to enter into something that's very out of their depths, right? They're getting ready to enter into this time and this event where they don't really know what is going to happen. Now, John was strange, right? John wore camel hair and ate locusts and was out in the desert and was this kind of fiery preacher of repentance, and that's all great. But Jesus is giving the Holy Spirit, right? This out-of-control spirit. You don't know where the wind blows. You don't know what's going on. All kinds of things that they never anticipated are getting ready to happen. And so in the very beginning of Acts here, we have the writer beginning to kind of give us that first clue that things are going to get a little bit crazy for our folks here. So then it says this next. Verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. Verse 8, But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Right? And so the question that they end up asking here is, they're asking him, is this the time when, essentially, is this the time when things are going to go back to the way they were? Right? Are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel now? Is this where we get to go back to being the people we want to be, to having the kingdom we want to have? Is this where you restore things, make it back to the way it was? And Jesus' answer to that is, that's not your question. Right? Your question is not, is this when we get to go back to the way things were? Your question is not that, and your answer has nothing to do with that. It's not for you to worry about that. It's not for you to look backwards and think about the glory days and try and wonder when they're going to come back. That is not what this is about. Your question is, how do I bear witness to everyone that I meet, knowing now that God will be within us, right? We know God above us. We know God was with us. Jesus, now the Holy Spirit, God will be within us. The Holy Spirit has come upon you. You go be my witnesses. And I know when we think of witnesses, necessarily we sometimes think of like passing out tracts door to door. I'm not going to be that specific. I'm not saying that can't be a form of witnessing. The point is that we are bearing witness. We are telling people what we know about God, about God's love, about what God is doing in whatever situation we're in, in whatever place we end up, whatever unexpected time and place we end up, right? And so they're having this temptation to look backwards and to say, man, this is the thing we've been dreaming about, or this is the way it was in the good old days. Are you going to bring that back now? And Jesus says, no, that's not what this is about. Like I said, live, right? I'm not quite sure why I can't make the slides move here. Hey, there we go. Says this the next. When he had said this, they were watching, and he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going to heaven, they were gazing up towards heaven. So think about this for a minute. I mean, really appreciate the disorientation of what's happening for these disciples here. They're having this conversation with Jesus. He's talking about all the stuff that they don't know what it is. They don't know what it means. And then suddenly Jesus literally lifts off the ground, ascends into heaven, a cloud hides him, and he's gone. Appreciate again their disorientation. Not just because it's a neat magic trick, and it is. This is something, you know, David Blaine, I'm sure, has been working on for years and hasn't been able to figure out. This is a mind-blowing just miracle to see. But beyond that, Jesus, the Son of God, the one that they've given their lives to, the one that they have prayed for and hoped on, and the one that has they've given their lives to and followed around for years and have seen the miracle of resurrection, this God suddenly is gone. The means by which they understood God, the means by which they arranged their religious practice, the means by which they understood faith in the world disappears, right? It's just gone. All their bearings have left them. And I know it's probably hard to fathom something happening in the world, and it's hard to think of an example of what might be like this. It's hard to fathom, but sometimes something can come along, something can happen that is so unexpected, that was on no one's radar, that just completely rearranges the way you have to go about your life, completely rearranges the world and everything in it, right? Imagine if something like that happened in our world today. And believe it or not, if something like that were to have happened, people get weird about it, right? We don't do well with this, right? We don't do well with something that ruins our plans, the things that we were going to do, right? What about what I was going to do? What about what I had planned? What about the way things have always been done, right? It's very disorienting. It's tough. I don't think we have to imagine very hard on what that's like. We've all been going through it for 2 months. And we're watching it ramp up. We're watching it just keep building and building and building. And pretty soon people are going to start bringing in, you know, constitutional freedoms and all these kind of things. And suddenly a mask is an attack on your Americanism. And I mean, it's because none of us know what to do with this, right? It's hard. It's hard to wrap our minds around a world where I might have to wear a mask everywhere I go for a while, or it's hard to wrap my mind around a world where I can't see you guys in person maybe for I don't know how much longer, right? I fight it. I push against it. It's an extremely disorienting thing for the disciples to go through. The whole kind of divining rod, the whole thing that they orient their lives around just disappeared in the clouds above them after some cryptic sayings, right? This is why they're staring at the sky. This is why we're staring at the sky right now. So we just kind of sit around and, I mean, what conversations I have with people, I haven't seen them in a while. We video chat or I happen to see them at the store and we're talking as best we can through masks. And I mean, that's the phrase that keeps coming up over and over again. It's just, man, this is crazy. This is just crazy, right? But I don't know what to do. What's going on? I don't know. It's hard to process this stuff. And this is what the disciples are going through right in the midst of this ascension, right? So I love this text this week because you start to get a feel for, there's a lot of overlapping themes in what they're experiencing, I think, and what we've been experiencing. And as they're standing there with their mouths open, looking up to the sky, trying to figure out what to do next, not understanding this new world that they're in that doesn't work the way it's supposed to work and hasn't gone according to plan and doesn't seem to be ushering in the world that they've been looking backwards and forwards to at the same time. Into this we have this. Suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand up looking towards heaven?" I love that question. This Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. So these two angels show up, two white men, right? Two men in white robes. Probably not white men. I don't know. Maybe they were white men. Show up and tell everyone what to do. It sounds kind of like us sometimes. Two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus who has been taken away from you into heaven will come in the same way you saw him go into heaven." I love this section because this question to me is so absurd, right? It's such a dumb question for two reasons. First, like, why am I looking up into heaven? Because that guy just flew up there. Like, he just flew up there and went into the clouds. Why would I not be looking in heaven upwards in that situation? Who hears these things from Jesus, sees him come off the ground, disappear into a cloud, and immediately goes, "All right, what's for lunch?" and then walks away, right? Of course not. No, you are going to be staring, right? That this warrants some staring. And then beyond that, these two know-it-all angels say, "By the way, that Jesus that just went up there is going to come back in the same way." Well, then of course I'm looking, right? Because he's going to come back in the same way. I don't know if you mean right now. I don't know if you mean an hour from now. I mean, they're not helping their case by adding this thing after the question. This is making me want to look up to heaven more, right? Why am I looking up to heaven? That's why I'm looking up to heaven, because it only makes sense to at this point, right? But as Christ has already indicated to his disciples as they're standing there, he's already said this to them, he's already primed them for this. As Christ has already indicated, there are a couple things that are not our calling. And number one is just staring longingly towards what once was, right? Looking backwards towards the good old days or towards what we expected. That is not our calling. Jesus made that very clear already. The other thing that Jesus made clear in what he said earlier when they started asking if he was reestablishing the kingdom of Israel is it's not our job to just sit around and wait for Jesus to return. I mean, I know there's been a lot of strains of Christian theology and Christian thought that has pointed that direction where basically groups of people are just sitting around waiting for Jesus to return. That is not our calling. It's not for us to know when or how or why. That doesn't matter. Instead, we take reality on reality's term. This is the world I live in. This is what's going on in this world right now. However unexpected it might be, however disappointing it might be, however disorienting it might be. And in this situation, the world as it is right now, what is the best way that I can bear witness in this place that we are in to who God is and what God is doing? Why are you looking into the sky? Why are you looking towards what was? Stop worrying about what was. It isn't now. The question now is, how do you bear witness to who God is, what God has done, and what God is doing. Right? That feels like a good word for us right now. Jesus may not have physically ascended in front of us, but our lives disappeared into the clouds, didn't they? But this is hard. It's hard not to look back. It's hard not to stand there with your mouth open and wonder, how did this happen and what do we do now? Right? That's a hard thing. It's hard because it's humbling, right? Because suddenly it becomes about more than just me. It becomes about some kind of larger thing. And really, I just want the world to be about me and my own needs and my own hurts and my own suffering in this situation. It admits that we have no control, right? I've got to relinquish self-control. Again, and I think I've talked about this already, one of the hardest things about COVID has been the way it's completely removed my sense of me having control of things. I never really had control, but I like to believe that I did. Right? It's humbling. It makes us confess and admit that we are not in control. And it requires faith. It requires a trust in something that we can't see in front of us, that we don't necessarily have firsthand experience with in the same way. It takes faith, right? It transcends what we are experiencing, what we see. This stuff is hard. It's hard not to stand there looking into the sky. And so maybe that's where we kind of need to just wrap this up today. Just kind of consider these disciples, consider the situation they are in, and confess that maybe we are doing the same thing, that we are in our world right now as it is, standing here, open mouth, stunned, disoriented, wanting and wishing for what was to come back. Oh, when I can do this again. Oh, when that can happen again. Oh, when this can happen again. Right? And the only certain thing that we know at this point, the only certain thing is that everything changes. Things don't stay the same. We may get back to some reasonable semblance of the lives we had before, but things aren't going to be exactly the same. And that's okay. Let's stop staring off into the sky wishing it would happen, right? And let's accept who we are called to be in this world today, this world as it is. I mean, this just feels like an appropriate text for us today. As people torn between how things were, the things that we loved about the world as they were, and how they are now. What we want and know, and the calling we have for us in this time, in this place. Because remember, we are not called to look back and fondly remember the good old days. No matter how good it might feel to do it, no matter how false a sense of control it might give us, we must humbly accept this is about more than my discomfort. We must humbly accept that we are not in control, and we must stick to the business of bearing witness to the self-limiting, sacrificial love of God for God's children in this world as it is now. And there are plenty of opportunities. If all you've done during this time is bemoan the world we're in now, instead of reaching out to those who have been the most deeply affected and hurt by it, you're missing the call. You're staring off in the sky when you've got a witness to bear out. This passage just feels very relevant to me. I wanted to talk about the ascension because it's part of the Christian calendar this week, and I just saw myself in the story. But I also really like the passages we had from the very end of 1 Peter. And to me, they act sort of like a prayer, like a benediction. So I'm actually just going to end by reading these verses. And if you can go into your own Bibles, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 or 6 through 11. And let this kind of be our benediction and our prayer today. Humble yourselves. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith. For you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Peace be with you. We'll see you guys in the Zoom meeting at 5:30. Have a great night.